And not only can I have to plug into the Mac, but I only, my headphones only, I can only hear you in one ear. I can only hear
Oh, no.
You're back. Okay, now it's working. I don't know. Go for that. This cord. I gotta replace my cord.
Yes.
Hello, Mark Stedman of the Convergence Podcast. How are you today?
Yeah.
What's happening in your world?
I'm all right.
Are you pilled up?
Yeah, I've joined the ranks of the medicated.
Oof. And what's that like so far? It's probably early days, I'm assuming.
Yes, it's normal. It's just standard. It's normal.
Yeah.
But I've got potentially headaches.
You've got potential.
Oh. And gastrointestinal fun and weird dreams to look forward to for a bit.
Oh, is that like a transitionary symptom
set?
Okay.
Yeah.
And then it normalizes.
Yeah. The body gets used to it and then we're away. I'm on the basic bitch stuff.
Sure.
So it's what they give to all of us basic bitches. It is what in America goes under the brand name Zoloft.
Aha.
Yes.
Aha.
But here it is known as sertraline. Which is the, like, you know how paracetamol is, you have a ridiculously long name for paracetamol.
That's acetaminophen?
Yeah. That's too many.
They're all too many.
So yeah, that's it was possibly the shortest medical appointment I've ever had.
We've been waiting for this.
Yeah. I was due in at 9:30,
uh-huh.
And I was only 5 minutes early, despite huffing and puffing it up the road to get there.
Mm-hmm.
By 9:37, I was stood outside the GP surgery, waiting to walk to my pharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
And there we go. I have my pills. Pills are good.
That's simple.
Yeah, it was.
Awesome.
Thanks to a letter from my therapist.
Of course, yes.
Yeah.
If you just walked in being like, hey.
Yeah.
Probably a different story.
Yeah. And, you know, that sort of has been the story. So it's been nice to have the advocate. So, that is that. Had a session today talking all about my last 5 years and how I want them back. But that's okay.
Do you want to elaborate on that, or is that just for the therapy session?
No. It's the easiest thing to think about is the summer I had last year, where it was just this absolute kind of sort of crisis of, without it being like dramatic, it was kind of a crisis of like, I don't know what I'm doing, what's going on, what am I even interested in, what do I want to do? And it wasn't until this year in sort of March where I was like, what you should do is just get your head down and do what you're good at, and think community stuff and get yourself set up. And the last 5 years have been characterized by my membership of a certain organization. And I don't think I'm as happy with that. Like, I think we've mentioned it before, but like, yeah, I think there are things to be reckoned with. And I did a little bit of that reckoning today.
I'm guessing the organization is the hippie club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in many ways, the door that I came through it was their sort of flagship program. And, you know, I'm not gonna talk shit out of school. I'm not bad mad at anyone because no one's done anything maliciously. But I think there is, and you know, this might, I don't know how it feels for you, this might ruffle a couple of feathers. And I was thinking about this today, given how we think about things differently. But the space in the Venn diagram between sort of therapy, mental health, and coaching, there is a kind of murky area that I think, and I've been concerned about this before from my own work, of like, if you're going to get your hands all mucky in there, like you better know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I think there's a fair bit where people are getting their hands dirty and they're getting all up in people's stuff and they're doing it from a good place, but sure, they haven't learned the skills to really do that delicately enough. And you know, like, yeah, it all comes from the best possible place, but it can sometimes, what can feel like support can feel, you know, and cajolement and friendly sort of egging people on can also feel like abandonment. It can also feel like if you've got a particular way that you think things are supposed to be done. And again, I've been guilty of this, and I think we've discussed this as well. If you have a particular track that you think people are supposed to go on and you've decided that that's the way forwards because you're invested in it, and people don't fit in that, what we should probably do is say, okay, we're not going to be a good fit for you because we're not going to provide you with what you need, rather than try and mold someone to fit something that, you know, maybe doesn't ultimately fit them.
Yeah.
Which is kind of how I felt. I felt I was kind of molded and encouraged to be something that I wasn't comfortable with.
Sure.
And encouraged to make decisions, and I say encouraged, like, not necessarily that they were my ideas, but like, and I, like, yeah, I'm not gonna keep belaboring this point because I think I have already. I've nailed these colors to the mast too many times, but I think I'm sort of taking a little bit more, not so necessarily taking ownership, but taking stock of that. And actually just sort of more and more, I'm like, I want to put some distance between me and that whole business.
Yeah.
Because I feel so much clearer having started the CIC, which had nothing to do with what I was doing with the hippies. Despite it being exactly the kind of business that, should work in that environment.
Sure.
Yeah, and like, you know, there's people there that I like and have a lot of time for, but also I would probably rather talk about music or something else with them than business.
Sure.
Or money or any of those things. That was sort of tenor of the conversation today.
Yeah. I've got some threads I'd love to pull on.
Excellent.
In that. And I don't disagree with you.
Mm-hmm.
Although, my center of focus of what you were saying in this current section, current moment, is the pushing of an idea of, like, I have this thought pattern, this program, this methodology, this path for you person, my coachee, to take, and being a little bit maybe too ham-fisted about it, or one trick pony or whatever, and where necessarily being very trauma informed or sensitive to how everybody is different.
Or to privilege, as something we've talked about before, as well.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And so what came up for me in that is, yeah, the person who is supposed to be of knowledge, bestowing, like, it would be great if they understood different places somebody might be coming from and be a bit more informed and a bit more compassionate for where somebody maybe isn't ready for it, maybe doesn't have the ability to take it, maybe doesn't like that idea and wants to do something else, or, you know, so many other options. But also, I think it's fair to assume, or fair to assume that the person receiving should also be discerning on whether this is right for me and be able to speak up for themselves or say, actually, this pushes my buttons, or this is, I can't do, like, that's fine for Marco, or, you know, like, that's, you know, it's not something that's available for me in many different realms. And so it's kind of a two-way street in that regard, I think, where...
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And the difficulty I've had, and it's conversations you and I have had with stuff that, and, you know, I'm sure I've done it. I know you've done it. When what we sometimes do is when we hear pushback, we assume, it's just, you don't get it yet.
for sure.
And so if you hear, you know, it's because you've got money stories, or you've got these other things that are getting in the way of you seeing the true path here.
Yeah. And that's so hard. That's such a rich environment right there, because it's like, that could be true. It could be another story, or it could be a story that they're telling themselves that could be blocking. And the person who's, you know, in the knowledge has no idea where the person who's learning is coming from and what is blocking them. Because it could be something that they could work through and together, and it'd be fine. That's probably, you know, from experience, they're working with people that is the case. And maybe that's often the case. And then when they come across somebody whose block is completely unrelated to that, whether it be financial or physical or, you know, whatever, then, hopefully they can recognize that in some way. But also it's on the person receiving to be like, oh, I get, yeah, thank you for the option of it. It's a story in my mind, but actually it's this, you know?
Yeah. It's like, I know, and I think lots of people do, but we often don't believe when we see it the other way around. We don't see this. We don't give enough people, or we don't give people enough credence. Like, I know the difference between difficult and, like, pretty much like, I'm not afraid of hard things. I'm not afraid of confronting difficult things, but I've lived 42 years and I know what's going to be achievable. And just saying, you can do anything, buddy. Like, yeah, no, that's lovely. But, like, I know the difference between something that's really hard and something that needs confronting. Mm-hmm. And I think we don't necessarily give people that credence.
I get that.
And I think the other thing you were saying earlier popped something in my brain about humility, actually, like when we have got a thing, like, it can be difficult to go, you know what, I don't know at this point, I don't know how to help there.
Yes.
I think often ends up happening is you get a sort of deer in headlights, and then they just go back to the program. It's like, it'll be the program will be the solution. So just do the thing in the program. And
why don't you just try it again?
Talk to me next week. Bye. You know.
Yeah. Why don't you just try it again?
Yeah. Can you just do it, but do it different and do it better?
Yeah. Try hard. Oh, you just didn't try hard enough. Yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah. You didn't believe.
To your first point about, like, living 42 years and knowing that this set of things are possible or this set of things are not possible. Like, man, I feel you on that so much. And my lived experience is that I have been blocked by things, and they were completely impossible to me until I got to a certain point and something else unlocked me, or multiple things changed in my life, and then it was possible. And, like, you know, at that point, when that thing was possible, it was it was a mental block. That was all that was left. And, you know, I wouldn't have been able to get there if, you know, the divorce hadn't happened, or I hadn't had this conversation with this person, or, you know, this other thing was unresolved, or this disability was gone. And then now I'm at this point where something can happen because those other blocks have moved, and they weren't all mental. Sometimes they were, you know, they're financial or physical, but, then it got to the point where, because I had lived with those financial and physical and otherwise blocks for so long, I had rigid thinking about like what I can and can't do. And then those things had moved on, and my mental block didn't make sense anymore. Cause now, you know, like I was still in that mindset. And so I'm wondering, because of all that, like I'm wondering if it can be an appearance of a mental block to a person that's trying to coach, because the way somebody talks about it is kind of the same when they have multiple blocks or one block, you know. But and so they're approaching it like, oh, I've heard this argument from, you know, in resistance before. I know how to get past this because it has worked for these other people. And so they just keep barreling down the same road for, I think, obvious reasons. Like they're seeing the same signs. I mean, this is different than a person just being like, oh, just try it again. Like that, that's obviously not good advice. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm just coming at it from like, I've felt that.
Yes.
And I have had mental blocks that had to be reversed later after other things had happened. And yeah, maybe sometimes it's just a chain of events.
That's
yeah.
One of the big things. It's like, it's after other things have happened. And
I think, for sure.
I think if you are not careful, this is something that can happen in friendships. It can happen in relationships. It can happen in a coaching environment where you can keep tightening a guitar string in because you want to get it because you know it could be in the right tune. And then... you go too hard and it snaps. And that is the danger. And so sometimes, this is not the right metaphor now, but like sometimes you've got to let that guitar string be a little bit slack for now. You can always come back to it later, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the issue sometimes, you know. Some issues are like they're thorny, or they've come with a lot of baggage that is like, again, it's on the coach to go, all right, maybe this is too much baggage for me to, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, for us sure. to cope within this container, as they like to say. So how about, you know, have you considered looking at other things, speaking to other professionals that can help with some of this deeper stuff? And when you're ready to get mm-hmm. back onto this, like, particular path, you know, and maybe it's a book, maybe it's or whatever, but like, yeah, when it feels like, and this is maybe why I haven't responded well to coaching, is when it's felt like, you know, I love the therapeutic approach because it is about listening. And coaches say it's about listening.
No, they got a thing to sell.
Yeah. And maybe that thing to sell is just their, you know, method. Right. That, you know, their particular thing, but like,
and urine sales.
Urines. I'm not selling urine.
Good one.
Get good one. Good one.
Good one. I have a much lower bar for what a good joke is than you do. It made me laugh. So
yeah, there you go. It works.
That's the bar.
That's the bar. Absolutely. I don't know, man. I don't want to I don't want to be talking shit, but
yeah I get it,
but at the same time I think I don't have regrets, certainly too few to mention. And yeah, again, like we've talked plenty about that before. I think it was just that sort of sense of like, because I know where I have a much greater sense of where I am now.
Yeah. But would you have that greater sense of where you are now if you hadn't gone through the past 5 years of exploration with this other thing?
I think it's a fair question. And I don't know if it has a simple answer. I mean, this is not to say that there aren't amazing things that I've picked up along the way.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm doing now is what I was doing 9 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The last 5 years have been something completely different. Yeah. And it's also a different model. And I think I was chasing maybe seeing it work for other people. This is, you know, part of the problem of comparison being this whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, chasing an idea of what I thought I could have access to.
Yeah.
And it's really, it can be tricky stuff because, like, I remember turning 40 and thinking I should be further along, I should be in whatever positions. But I think there's also a great degree of, I'm not going to say arrogance, but presumptiveness, in that just because I have a lot of good reckons doesn't mean that I am in any way equipped in the same way that other people I'm sort of other careers I'm looking at and wanting to emulate. Like, there is, you know, just because I have ideas like, you know, you should write show notes in this particular way, or you should speak to the microphone in this particular way. Like, there is this difficult thing of, and maybe it comes back to this idea of authority that we've talked about before. Another way of having authority doesn't have to come from top down. It can come from social proof, and it can come from your methods, your ideas being seeded out into the wild and people being able to peg some success that they've had with your method. Oh, you know, to your method and say, well, my show, I mean, I'm speaking about podcasting now, even though that's you know, whatever. But like, you know, my show got 10 times more listeners because I implemented these things. If I'm confronting some stuff, which I, for some reason I am now because I've started this sentence, so I better finish it.
Because that's the way everything works.
Yes. Oh no! As we know, I'm a big believer in finishing what I start. fuck you! You don't get to talk about my friend that way, Mark.
I mean, if you think about it, you finish everything.
Oh sure. Yeah, you stop. Well, you stop. Yeah, exactly.
Things always stop. Yeah.
Yes.
I can't remember the sentence you started that I interrupted. that you had to finish because you started it.
I am in some ways sloughing off an idea of, and this is tricky because the coach or the supporter is going to want to gainsay this or like pick this apart straight away of like, and actually, and I know I'm talking in so many tangents, at some point I will actually like make a single solid point. We talked maybe a year or so ago about the idea of like craftsmanship, or you know, craftspersonship.
For sure.
And just humble, like humble, honest,
yeah,
good work.
Yeah. That's where it's at.
And what's wrong with that?
Yep.
And especially if you can be nicely paid for it.
Yeah.
And I'm in the position right now where that looks to be coming along reasonably nicely, and I'm seem to be reasonably employed doing something that I'm good at.
I feel like the idea of virality, the idea of like something just some little thing that sparks this big, huge blow up in your life, and all this, you know, money comes in or fame or attention or whatever, is such a product of the internet and of our time right now. And it's so toxic. It's unrealistic. And like there are 9-ish billion people on the planet, and how many people have gone viral?
Oh yeah.
You know, in the hundreds or whatever.
I mean, I'm not even thinking of like virality.
Well, sure. But you know, like you had mentioned, this one method, you know, like tenfolded my podcast.
Oh, sure.
And both the podcaster who implemented this thing and went bigger, they're feeling that of like, yes, I did it because of this. And also the coach who came up with that idea is also thinking it like, yes, now I'm getting notoriety because I came up with this thing that's helping other people. And sure, but also, you know, so many people have ideas and they're not all viral worthy or lucky, as Brennan Lee Mulligan would attest to, you know, because he has to be mentioned on every episode.
Yes.
BLM.
The other BLM.
They're both good.
They're both good.
Sometimes I have grape.
Yeah, man. I am. I think the last 5 years of going, what is a Mark Steadman? Like those questions.
Yeah.
Seem to be finding answers.
Awesome.
In a kind of satisfying way.
Love that.
And, you know, C90 is going to go down as one of the best things I've ever done because of what it's showing me I'm capable of and how small shit matters. Getting a few people to... like, so we had... pretty crappy weather on Friday, and it was difficult to even open the shop without getting completely drenched. And my umbrella kept inverting. I'm just trying to open up. I'm worried that I'm going to put the key in the electric shutter and it's going to electrocute me because the key's wet, you know? People turned up. People Hell came, yeah. And they braved the awful, dangerous weather.
Hell yeah!
Some people using crutches, and they came to sing. I better fucking not ever take that for granted.
Yeah.
Because that's incredible.
It is.
And it doesn't have to be on a grand stage because that doesn't matter. And you know, not that I ever thought it did, but like, I don't know, finding the right things in the right places, looking for the right things in the right place. I think there's that line about the drunk looking for his keys, and the guy's like, why are you looking there? And the drunk says, because that's where the light is. you know, you gotta look in the right place for the stuff.
Yeah,
so, I don't know if I had anything there. That was all just a babble.
I like that. I also came to mind. For the past 5 years, you've been looking for Mark inside you, and then it turns out Mark was outside you the whole time. In C90, it's in other people showing up.
Oh, that's nice. Yes, and it's come from action, and it's come from no one like, again, if I think about the things that I've had the most success with, and this is not, I'm not drawing a correlation. I'm not saying correlation is causation here. But the things that have gone the best for me are the things that I've consulted the fewest people on. And I'm not saying that I'm some kind of Steve Jobs who's like, we don't need focus groups. I think it's probably more to do with the fact that what ends up happening is that I can sometimes get discouraged or take on too many other ideas, or things get muddied, and then my sense of what I'm doing gets muddied. Yeah. And if I'm, you know, if the business that I'm selling is myself, which it was for a while there, I was trying to basically sell the idea of Mark Stedman as a product.
Yes. Mark as a service.
Mark as a service. If I'm trying to do that, based on the ideas of other people of what they think Mark is, or what Mark should be, or these are the things you should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm like, I still don't know what I'm doing, because, you know, I left something that was working, and then I don't know what I'm doing. And so I guess I'm looking for people to tell me.
Yeah.
Like, at some point this year, I went, no, I think I know what Mark is. And Mark has that sense of community. Mark has a sense of justice, and Mark has a sense of fairness, and those other things. And I managed to find a way to put that into action. And
yes.
Can I
process that a little bit through the Enneagram lens?
Oh, sure.
So us as nines, when we're in stress, we go to six. And a six consults their committee. A six processes information through thinking, and also their thinking is unproductive. So they need to check it with an authority that they either trust implicitly or are very skeptical of and need to monitor, and sometimes both. And so I'm playing with the idea in my head that over the past 5 years you've been stressed and been going to six, trying to consult people, and you know, you're getting all their ideas flooding your head, which is, you know, you're thinking about it, and then that thinking is unproductive, and so you're kind of not going anywhere. But when you know, just in your normal state in nine, you do a lot, and the doing is not necessarily productive. And then when a nine is in security, when things are going well, they go to three. Which that part's really interesting too. I'm really fascinated with my threeness when I'm in security. Like, I feel it most at work because I feel very secure there and I know what I'm doing. And a three is kind of a chameleon. They put on the face that they know the people around them want to see. They take in information by feeling, and their feeling is unproductive. So they don't use that feeling to make a decision, which is really fascinating. And I feel that when I'm at work, I can show myself to be what I know my client in front of me needs to see and needs to have. It's very, it just comes naturally. I don't even think about it. And cause I feel it, cause it just, it's innate. And then there's this confidence and assuredness that comes in that state of just like a little bit of ease. And it's also, you know, there's also, you're feeling security. So there's that. Like a three is, you know, kind of one of the hardest numbers to describe on the Enneagram. And I need to dive back into some reading about it, because I feel it, but I can't really describe it. Anyways, this came up for me. Like, I have been going to six, especially a lot with my mom lately. I have been consulting other people because I'm all up in my head about it. I'm just like, this situation makes me feel horrible. What, you know, trying to take care of her and not feeling this emotional connection, and you know, everybody is kind of telling me the situation, like they're asking me, like, how long are you going to do this? And you know, like, obviously this is hurting you. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't know what to do. And like, the simple solution was to just say, I can't, this is too much for me. But I couldn't see it. I couldn't think of that when I was in my stressed state. And my even when people would tell me, like, my thinking was unproductive. I couldn't, like, okay, yeah, I hear you, but it doesn't compute still. And then yeah, I kind of I was mentally blocked about it. And then to our first conversation, and then a couple things happened that changed some blocks for me. I some external factors made stress a little bit easier, and then I was able to come to be like, oh, okay, I can just say stop, and that's really interesting. So I changed the story we were talking about from you to me, because it kind of felt like I don't want to coach you, bro. So and it wasn't about that at all. I was just noticing that. Yeah, it's fun for me to process things through the Enneagram lens and like try to see how it works that way, because I just keep finding it very relevant. And so obviously
talk about what the external things were that changed, that allowed you to feel less stress in that sense?
Yeah, I mean, some financial security. I finished and then was in the middle of two jobs that went very well, and I was able to kind of come out of some financial stress. And then I have the intuitive eating has been going on for a while, and while I have found myself, you know, very fixated on step one, where it's changing the mindset of there's no bad foods, and just like you can eat anything, it's all fine. Just eat what your body, like, allow yourself to hear what your body needs. And at this point, you're probably going to choose foods that you normally wouldn't have, because they have been off limits. And so with them no longer being off limits, you're probably going to go to them. And that's what was happening. But also, I was finding myself recalibrating in a way that was like, yeah, that was off limits. It's no longer off limits, but I don't need it right now. I can just have half a cookie, and I don't have to finish the cookie. That's fine. There's no scarcity. I can come back. I can get another cookie later. It's completely fine. So yeah, so that's been going well, and I've gotten to this point where I'm like, all right, I feel safe around choices of foods. I don't feel the scarcity. I'm not really worried about that as much. And I want to change what I'm eating for some specific reasons, and I'm excited for that within knowing that everything's fine. There's less stress around it. And then another food thing, sort of more of a supplement. I was talking with a client recently, who, like, some mold was found on the job site I was on, and so naturally turned into the conversation of my mold allergy and my history with it, because they were fascinated. And then they started talking about their kids' health issues that they had to go through. And it was a similar issue with an adrenal gland problem that was resolved by this tincture that the mother found, my client. And because my client was going to naturopathic school at the time, and talked with a friend who was a couple years ahead of her, and was like, oh, this issue that your kid is having is probably related to the adrenal gland because of this issue, you should take this tincture. She should take this tincture, which is an adaptogen blend of like mushrooms and other herbs and stuff that helps regulate the adrenal gland. And adaptogens are fascinating. Apparently, the way they work, are you aware of adaptogens and how they work in the body?
No. It sounds to me like something that you pick up in a little vial in BioShock.
Yeah, it's very similar to that. I did not travel to BioShock to get it, but it was just shipped to my door, mm-hmm. like we do nowadays. But apparently, adaptogens, they're called adaptogens because if you are low on something, they help your body produce more of it. And if you're high on something, they help your body reduce that to the baseline. So that either way, they kind of get you to the baseline instead of like a medication, which can help push things up, or a medication that can help drop things down. And it's just like, it's like a hammer and it just goes up or down. This one sort of always brings it to the middle somehow.
The how part, a lot of heavy lifting.
yeah. The how part, no idea. But what I found is, so I started taking. She had a bottle of it because she takes it, and her daughter takes it, and her daughter's issues are gone, and my client takes it because it helps regulate her own things, and so she had some and offered me a sample of it. So I took a sample because I like to try anything. I didn't think a tincture was going to hurt me. And then, you know, I didn't really feel anything.
Just a little tincture. It's just a little tincture.
Yeah. It even sounds small. And I took it. I didn't notice anything. The next day, I didn't really, nothing seemed out of normal. And then the following day, I felt back to my tiredness that I had been the day before yesterday, like 2 days ago. And what I'd noticed at that point was, oh shit, yesterday, which was the day after I took the tincture, yesterday I felt fucking great. And I didn't even know it because I just felt normal. And, you know, normal is unremarkable until it's gone. And so I was like, oh fuck, I need to get this tincture. And so I did, and I started taking it, and now I'm noticing how normal feels. Like, things are even, and it's like, it's so good. It's so good, dude. I'm not tired. I didn't really, when you're tired every day, when you're fatigued all the time, it is the baseline, and you don't really notice it as much anymore. It's just kind of like, well, what am I going to do? Spend all day in bed? I don't want to. So I'm going to get up and do stuff, even though I'm tired. I'm just going to push through it. I'm going to take I'm just going to take an extra coffee, or I'm going to like have some sugar, or, you know, put on some music or do something to force myself to have more energy so that I can keep going through the day, because I need to. You know, I'm telling myself I need to. And, you know, that works for as long as it does until it stops.
Yep.
And so, yeah, taking this tincture, I'm just like, oh my God, I can just get out of bed and feel fine. I can, you know, I can wake up with morning wood and it's, things are working properly, you mm-hmm. know, like it feels correct. Yeah. I can go through the day, and then I can go to sleep at night, period. I can fall asleep, you know, and I'm mm-hmm. not like fucking wasted, or I'm not there like with insomnia. And, you know, part of me is, so I've had a couple manic states. I've taken some drugs and done a couple things where it was like, boom, I have way too much energy. Holy shit. I'm going to go rip out my fence. And like, this feels like I am gearing up towards it. It's like a middle ground. It's just like, this is almost like a manic state. I feel like I'm kind of like hinting at it. Because I feel like I'm on the high side of normal. It's not just I'm at normal. I'm at the, kind of on the high side of normal. I feel good, not just fine. I feel good, and so I'm very often kind of monitoring myself. Like, am I tipping into manic? Like, am I pushing myself too hard? And yeah, it's an interesting thing to contemplate and stuff. But like I keep thinking about it, and I keep going with this, you know. And so I'm taking the tincture every day, and it's not just that, you know. Obviously, I was talking about this, other stresses have mm-hmm. have resolved, and things all over my life are kind of evening out and getting easier. Yeah, that's it.
What do we so know? What happy. Is in this tincture?
Yeah, it's called Vital Adapt.
Okay.
There's ashwagandha, and let's see, I can bring it up. I've got the nice little link right here, and I can drop it in the show notes for anybody who has some adrenal problems and wants to try it out. Pureformulas.com.
I don't know how I feel about that, but yeah.
Well, it's just like a.
It's just like that client.
Oh, yeah.
Between, well, yeah. You know, our countries, this is not FDA, things are regulated differently. I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
But well, God, what are we going to say?
It's just like that person who contacted you wanting to sell a thing, and they're like, oh, I can just take more of it. And you're like, well, if it's doing something, then shouldn't you not just take more of it? Mm-hmm. And maybe she was selling this stuff, and it's just a different... I don't know. Yeah, let's see.
No,
that's not the button. Where's the button? Oh, this looks way different on Mac than it does. Oh, here we go. On the phone, it makes really easy to see. Okay, so there's American ginseng and reishi and cordyceps and rose hips and
don't put cordyceps berry. In your body.
Don't.
You'll turn into The Last of Us.
Okay. Video game nerd. There's turmeric and green tea and licorice root, elderberry, ginger, grape seed. And there's a couple I can't pronounce. Manchurian. Oh, okay. Manchurian spikenard. Whatever that is.
You're a Manchurian spikenard.
You're a Manchurian spikenard title. Schisandra seed and Eleuthero RNL. So yeah, it's mostly mushrooms, some leaves and some roots, and I think it tastes good now. The first taste was like, oh wow, that's really earthy. Really root, really really dirt.
Yeah,
but now I kind of like it.
This is a dirt drink.
This is dirt. It's a lot of things from, you know, it's all from the earth. You know, I don't know. My psilocybin beverage also.
That was earthy as fuck.
It was earthy. It's actually, it's a lot like that. Yeah, it tastes a lot like that. but this one does not taste as good with citrus. Like the mushroom, psilocybin mushrooms tastes pretty good with some citrus and ginger. This one does not. Don't know why. I've been contemplating slightly and just kind of pondering a little bit my interesting relationship with the mushroom genus. What's the
the phylum category? I don't know. Phylum? Yeah, I can't remember which one's which.
How do you phylum into categories? Did you laugh?
I enjoyed that one.
and with my mold allergy, mold being a type of fungus.
Yeah.
And like, I'm so confused.
Yeah.
Because I respond very well to psilocybin mushrooms, and I'm responding really well to this tincture that has mushrooms in it. And, but then also, like, if there's mushrooms on pizza, fucking throw it away.
Yeah. I mean, I tried to feed you mushrooms and you basically knocked the plate out of my hand.
I don't know if it was that strong.
You didn't do that at all. You said, no, thank you. I won't have mushrooms because
I was really trying to avoid them.
Trying to get mold out of my system.
I was kind of scared. Yeah. There's some fear there. I was like, I don't know what's going to do.
You couldn't have been more polite. I was completely completely fabricating that. See, this gets to the arc that I feel is perhaps important as we stagger and lurch our way towards episode 100.
Ooh, what are we at right now?
We are three away.
Whoa, look at us.
I think perhaps the realization is that maybe everything is not everything.
I still think it's pretty good advice.
Is it sacrilege?
But also,
because
yeah, there's nuance.
Exactly, there's nuance. Or perhaps it's the flip side to everything is everything, which is don't be weird about it. But it's
you were gonna say nothing is nothing.
Nothing is nothing. Is this anything? Is that sure? One type of fungus. Good for Brendan. One type of fungus is bad for Brendan. Everything is not everything.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like that's wisdom.
That's wisdom. I think what you're saying, though, is everything is not the same thing.
Oh. No, everything is not the same thing.
But also, is it? Isn't it? I think we're all one. I think we're all the same. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's interesting.
Give me back up a mountain.
Yeah.
Don't know why we're all dancing. We're not all dancing.
I don't get why we're not all. I really.
I cannot stress this enough, guys.
I don't understand
why we're not all dancing.
Sure, there's no music playing, but who cares?
Yeah.
Why are we not all dancing? We're alive. There's a sun in the sky that's warm and vibrant. There's fresh air and birds chirping that I can barely hear. And there's like trees that are giving us oxygen to breathe, and oh my god, isn't this all magical? Look around. As I'm looking around at my poorly painted walls and the like LED lights and whatever.
Yeah.
I'm taking myself back. I was back on the mountain.
Oh no, I was loving it. I was I was thinking about being in the cold and then suddenly just standing in the sun and
oh man,
imagine needing anything.
I love and then we started walking circles around the top, and you're like looking around like John Travolta in that meme, and I was just like, what? Wait, have we been here before? I was like, no, dude. And then I was like, oh yeah, no, yeah, we're walking in circles. Oh god, that was the best.
We're coming up, man. We're coming up on a year.
Yeah.
Since that all kicked off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss you this holiday season. I'm going to be thinking about you, because I'm hosting another end of the year party.
Mm.
This time it's not for my birthday. It's for New Year's Eve. I'm going to have a nice dance party. It's going to be very similar to the birthday party, but not focused around me. Mm-hmm. Which is very fun with me. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm pretty excited, and I'll miss you terribly, because it was really fun having you.
Mm.
Go Hawks.
It was a strange and different way of bringing in the new year. I think it's the first time that I can think of that I haven't waited up for the... Well, we don't have a ball that drops.
Sure.
But yeah, because, you know, three of us had had 3 days of illness.
Yeah, that was rough.
The worst of it was to come for you and Margaret.
At least we had like a nice pad to just kind of relax in.
Oh my God,
good people around. And yeah, that was really great.
Yeah.
But damn, that sickness sucked.
Yeah. Yeah, so much sleep.
We were still thinking about going to yoga that day you were first sick, and you're like, should we, or I don't know. And everyone's like, yeah, we don't need to go. And you're like so relieved.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the skinny, not skinny dipping, but the running into the sea.
Yeah.
Took some counsel on that. Checked in with a few people. That was a no.
You went to Six and Chess for that, for
yep,
sure.
I did. Yep. So, sure did.
Yep.
So, I came across, just in the way that the world delivers things in a fun and interesting way, if you're receptive to it, Quaker landed on TikTok.
Whoa.
Yesterday.
Okay.
And he was like, I wish people knew more about Quakerism,
because
Quaker be too quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about different flavors of Quaker, atheist Quaker, agnostic Quaker, Christian Quaker. And I wanted to have a bit of a Quaker follow up with you.
That's awesome.
Where are you with your?
I haven't done anything yet. I was busy on Thursday. That Thursday was the day I was finishing up my last project, so it was a very big scramble, and it went later than I expected. So I missed the meeting that I wanted to go to, but I have added it to my schedule. And this week I'm taking a week off of work between projects, which is, oh my God, it's so welcome. I so often, when I finish a project, which often, you know, will extend past the expected due date by a week or two because people add things and change things and whatever, and projects just kind of don't always go to the way expected. And so then that means I'm pushing the next person back a couple weeks, and that, you know, people have certain expectations, they want to get things done, they're excited and whatever, and I like to people please, of course. So I often just, as soon as I finish a project, I slam the next project right in there and get in to the next thing and try to, this is also like this hustle energy that was fostered in me from my previous marriage about making every penny I could because they wanted to spend it all.
The next one's gonna come. No, sure. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yes. But now I'm not having that crisis of pushing externally anymore. I have a very supportive partner. And we're also doing okay. You know, I've done a few jobs and we have some decent money coming in. Finally paying off some debts. I paid off my COVID loan. Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So like that was really great. And we just got a few more little things to pay off. And we're going to be able to do that at the beginning of the year. I'm very excited for that. And then I'll be debt free, except for the mortgage. Like what a breath of fresh air. It's been 6 years since I've been in that position. And because COVID, and then our wedding was pretty expensive. Brought him some debts from that, and then the lawsuit took a big chunk of things, and yeah, so finally coming out of that is like is really, really exciting and stress relieving, and so now I feel like I can finally give myself some breathing room between projects, and so I'm taking a week with that was supposed to be kind of restful, and I am taking this tincture and have so many projects I want to do, and I have all this energy, and so I'm just doing, and it's kind of great because I'm catching up on all this backlog of stuff that I put aside when I have a project going on because I'm busy with the project. The project is my main focus. I want, when I'm in somebody's home and making a mess and like changing their world, I want to wrap it up as kind of quickly as possible. Like my projects aren't quick. They're invasive into a person's home, and it's obstructive and dusty and whatever. You know, I try to contain it, but also it is what it is. It's fundamentally I'm destroying something and building it back. I am Shiva, you know, destroyer of things and creative. So
Shiva with a drill bit.
Yeah. Yes. And kinky. And so yeah, so I you know, when you know, all of my oomph, all of my energy goes into that person's house, that person's project and their desires, and mine get pushed away for quite a while. And so now I have an opportunity to catch up on all the things I've been putting off, and it feels really good. Yesterday was super funny. I did a couple things that I have been putting off for a long time. I called the vet, made a vet appointment for the cats for their fleas. I called an audiologist and made an appointment to get a hearing test so that I can get hearing aids, which is really big for me. That's like a decade coming or longer. And
look at you getting the help you need.
Yeah. And then I went to this expert in wood stoves, because Margaret and I would like to put in a wood stove in our living room to have some nice earthy raw heat, mm-hmm. you know, coming instead of just electric heat. And so I went to Buck's Stove Palace, which is nearby. Oh my god,
how's Buck doing these
character
days?
Holy shit, dude. So I walk in, immediately he says, "Oh good, I'm so glad you're here, I've been waiting."
Okay.
Before you can even see me.
Yeah.
But I think he like just kind of says that to anybody.
Yeah. I like this guy.
And then I was like, "Hi there, are you Buck?" And he's like, "Oh no, Buck's dead. He was my brother. I'm his brother Buck."
Okay. Okay. We got one here. We got a guy. All
we
right.
got a guy here. And that energy does not cease. And so yeah, we talk about stoves, and I pick out the one I want, and he's gonna help me out with it. But also, it comes up that I'm a remodel. Like he asks who's gonna install it, and I was like, "Oh, I was gonna do it myself. I'm a remodeler, and I can handle handy things." And he's like, after a couple other things we do, he's like, "I want to hire you to help me out with this project I'm working on. I've got this project that I put these stoves in a long time ago in this mansion, and now they're tearing down the mansion and changing the property into a development of a bunch of houses. And so now we're moving those stoves into a new place, and they're also taking out these countertops that are really nice. And so I want your help, with some consulting on how we can move these countertops into my place." And I'm like, "Yeah, sure."
Yeah.
And he starts quoting this guy, something, Will Rogers. And apparently Will Rogers said, "I never met a man I didn't like." And that was, I don't know, supposed to be a compliment, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Feels like maybe an incomplete sentence, but okay.
I know. This guy, oh my gosh. So, I had to leave.
What a pistol!
I had to leave for an acupuncture appointment, and then
I love
like,
the specificity
okay.
of that.
He's like,
"Could have just
right,
said
great.
You had to go," but no, I like that you went. That you told me. Yep, I love this.
So right after that, I came right back to meet him at 2:15, and because that's what he said. He's like, "If you're here by 2:15, great. Then we can go. If not, then I guess I missed you." So I get there at 2:15. And we hang around for 45 minutes before we leave.
Okay.
Because other things were happening and he just kind of got delayed. And then I follow him. I follow him to this job site, and he is the hardest person to follow. he kind of ran a red light.
Oh, okay.
Which is like, that's the opposite of what you want to do when somebody's following you, because they get stuck. I'm not going to run the red. And it was like late on the yellow as he was approaching the crosswalk, and then he just kind of bolts it when it, right as soon as it's like turning red as he's going through. Whoa. And so like, it wasn't dangerous, but it was not kind to somebody following.
No.
And like, and it's on a very busy street, so it was a long light, and they disappear down the street, and I can't see them, and they've turned and stuff. And buck, so I'm like, well,
buck, my dude.
If I see a buck, then great. Because I generally know where they're going, and luckily I do.
So just I look keep for the big fuck off mansion.
I find him, and then he keeps like turning his signal on, like he was going to turn it in a way, but he doesn't. And then he's late to turn onto turns that I'm pretty sure I know he needs to make, and it was pretty funny. Anyways, we get to the job site, and it was so weird. He shows me all these different this mansion has lots of countertops, and he shows me all these different countertops, and he asks me like, how would you dismantle this and how would you get this there, and like, so I gave him some advice, and we're going to talk about it more tomorrow or today. And and then he's like, all right, so I know you got to go pick up your wife, so we'll catch up tomorrow, and we exchange numbers and everything. And then tonight, or that night at 9 p.m. he calls me, texts me, and emails me.
Nope. Buck, you lost me. Buck, I thought we could be friends, mate.
Yeah, it was,
I thought we had something going here, and then you do this.
Journey.
You do this to my boy. Buck, no.
Buck, no.
Buck, no.
Buck, no. Title.
No, go buck yourself.
Go buck yourself.
No, he absolutely.
Yeah, that's what
it,
Margaret anyway. Said too. She's like, you gotta cut ties with this guy.
Uh-huh.
I can see a little bit more nuance in it or whatever. I can see. I don't think he was like, because I checked his voicemail later and it said yeah, call me in the morning, but they're demolishing the house. Like he has days to make a decision, and he's excited to have an expert to get some help from. So I understand his position a little bit. Anyway, it's pretty funny. The whole thing was a wild ride.
Buck's wild ride.
Buck's wild ride.
My new best friend.
And as always, say yes to everything that moves you forward and no to whatever blocks progress. And correct me if I'm wrong.
Go Buck.
Go buck yourself.
Go buck yourself.